Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Go on, tell me one.
I can't remember Gypsy.
Don't remember Gypsy.
I see your Gypsy.
Yeah, that's the one.
Let me hear the start of it.
I love Fleetwood Mac. I've got Fleetwood Mac on vinyl. Sounds so much better. Everything sounds so much better on vinyl. I like As Long As You Follow as well. What a great song. And Dreams. So good.
Dreams? As in?
Dreams. Go on, play Dream.
Dreams?
I like having my music DVDs, and I play certain music DVDs, especially when I'm doing stuff around the house. I'm listening to music, but it's on a DVD, and I've got one of the Corrs, and they play Dreams, oh, yeah. And Mick Fleetwood comes on, and he's playing the drums, and he's just so into it. It's just so cool.
Yeah, he's cool.
And do you know what else? One of my favorite ones is the Bee Gees. Right. One Night Only, so good. Yep. And One Night Only is just the name of the thing,
album?
The tour, yeah. True. And that's when all the three of them were alive. Right. And one of my favourite ones is actually John Farnham, Olivia Newton-John and Anthony Warlow together. So good. It's called The Main Event. I loved it. Love it. I know you don't like that sort of music.
I don't mind John Farnham. I think he did a couple of songs that were good.
No, but it was just how they sing together. Like some of they sang individually, and then they also all came on and sang with each other, and then they sang all three of them. I love Anthony Warlow's voice, so good. But I love that. I love that DVD. There's a few DVDs that I've got that I just listen to. So other ones that you would not like as well?
Yeah, 1927.
No, I don't have a 1927 one. Do you not? I don't know. No.
That's weird.
I know. I have a Shania Twain
one. Do you?
Yes, and I really love it. Wow. I love it. Anyway.
She was hot. She's hot.
Yeah, she was. It was when she was, yeah, it was good. Anyway, that's a little piece of information about me, about us. Well, we're going to be talking about us a little bit today.
Right.
Tell me something that no one would know about you.
Something that no one would know about me. Okay, I'll give you three things and you can tell me which one is a lie.
No. Go on then.
I once I'm a brown belt in karate. Yeah, I am a I once breakdanced in Dublin City for money, and I once won a unemployed song competition.
Unemployed song? What does even that mean?
A song competition for the unemployed. It was called the Unemployed Song Competition.
Is what? So is this two truths and a lie or something? What's going on?
No,
here?
No. It's one truth.
One truth and two lies.
And two lies.
So what happened? You breakdanced in a competition.
I'm a brown belt at karate.
Brown belt at karate. And
I once sang a song and won a competition for in Dublin for the unemployed song competition.
I think you're not a brown belt in karate.
Okay.
That's a lie. And the breakdance thing is just something that you always come up with, but you actually can't breakdance. So I don't think you won a competition in breakdance. And I don't think any of them are true, but okay. I'm gonna pick the first two as lies.
Okay, you're correct.
Okay, that's good. So what was this song about the unemployed and why have we not used this on the
pain? Is it all in vain? Will we ever work again?
Yeah.
And we were halfway through fucking singing this song. We'd been practicing it for weeks, and the school teacher was so into it. And we're just fucking killing it. We're absolutely murdering it. It was such a great song. And then it came to the last verse, And the guy who was meant to sing the last verse completely blanked out.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. There's your music then, career over right there.
And then somebody else stepped in. But we won. We won it. It was great. It was great for the school.
Oh, my God.
There was a lot
nuts.
Of unemployment. I mean, growing up in Dublin, there was a lot of unemployment. A lot of people out of work.
That's something I actually never knew about you.
What?
But that this thing, if it's actually true.
It's actually true.
Okay.
St. Bridget's Boys National School.
I know that's where you went.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
There you go.
Proud belt and karate. Who was going to believe that?
No, but I did karate for years.
Did you?
Yeah.
What belt did you get up to?
I can't remember what I got up to. But I did get a couple of belts on the way through. But one day they put me up against this guy who just came in. He just off the streets. He was in my school. They put me up against him. And he fucking beat me up.
Did he?
Yeah. And he just come in. He didn't even learn karate. And he just beat me up. And that was, afterwards I was like, that's just fucked.
And that was it.
he was huge. I was a kid. Oh, mate, look at me now. I'm telling you. But he was a big...
Yeah,
fucker,
yeah.
And he fucked you. And then afterwards, I was like, "Fuck that!"
No, I'm not doing that. There you go. Okay, well, there you go. That's something no people would not have known about
there
you.
There you go.
Cool.
Okay, go.
Okay, so what?
Your turn.
Oh, to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Do I have to tell three things? I hate doing this.
I just fucking mate, come on. We're all sitting here in anticipation because we want to hear it. Let me go. Go.
Okay. This is going to test your memory.
Yeah, okay.
Because we did this as an activity in the Boss of the Week one time, and I'll see if you remember it.
Okay.
Number one, I played the organ at church.
Yeah.
Number two, so are we doing three lies or three truths?
One truth, two lies.
Oh, that sucks. I'm going to do it the other way around. Two truths and one lie.
Okay.
So... played the organ at church. The second one is I sang at a grand final when I was 17, the national anthem,
right.
When I was 17.
On your own?
No, I didn't say I was on my own. I sang at a national
final.
Yeah.
Okay. Was it with the school?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then
was
the
your
third.
Mom there?
And the third one, the grand final, I don't remember. Oh, no, I've sang at two grand finals.
Have you?
There you go.
There you go, you're fucked.
And then the third one is that there's a day in my – there's a day of the year in my family where all – we have all the car accidents in my family happen on this day, one day of the year.
The first two are the truth.
No.
You
the first one –
you haven't had a grand final. You did fucking play the organ.
I did play the organ in church. The grand final thing happened.
Yeah, so shut
but
the fuck
I was
up.
16, not 17.
Oh, that's
so
bullshit.
Fuck you.
No.
And then the third one also is true.
So you're actually giving me three truths.
Yeah. The third one is true. Well, it's not all the accidents, but we have a day in the family where everybody has, like, that we've had experience year after year, and we always tell everybody
not to
be careful
that day.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what date is it?
July 19, my uncle's birthday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it used to happen year after year after year.
Wow.
And then it was like, okay, come on now. And it hasn't happened for a few years.
Wow.
He turned 70 this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there you go.
Okay.
Okay, so what are we actually talking
what
about
is the
today?
Point of this
I don't
podcast?
Know. But we're talking about maybe just going back through. It's actually not a bad thing because we've been talking about ourselves. This is really about ourselves. So what maybe a piece of it because we don't like we were thinking about this podcast and maybe what to talk about and thinking about, like, you know, any regrets that we've had or any advice we should take and stuff like that. And both of us really, I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, well, I do know about you, but there's no real regrets. Do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, we've done enough work on ourselves as partly, but then also, you know, you don't get to where you are if you're going to, like, if you want to change all the things that have happened to you. So there's no real regrets. But I think... there's lessons, like, and the way I see that now is that there's potentially lessons that maybe I didn't learn early enough and that I make an effort to impart on the kids, maybe piece of advice that in hindsight you go, that was actually a pretty good piece of advice. Learnings that you've had along the way that you're like, oh, okay, I get that now. Like, I can really realize that. That was an opportunity for growth that maybe you didn't realize it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So have you got any, like, feedback on that?
Okay. Like, I agree. I there's really not anything I would regret in my life. I think life has taught me a lot about, you know, the normal things, courage, integrity, strength, all of those things. Take risks. Don't be afraid of life. And I think one of the really good ones that I got through life was that nothing is permanent.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing's permanent. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what is happening, none of it is permanent.
Mm.
And everything that, when we're in the thick of it, we think, oh my God, it's the end of it. It's all fucked and it's all over. But there's been times when I've been in different parts of the world and just in that moment, in that part of the world, and I've gone, you know what? It doesn't matter what's happening in the world. Mm. You know, at any moment of time, you can come to this space outside of yourself and inside of yourself and feel actually okay. Mm. You know what I mean? Everything is actually okay.
Yeah.
And to let go of any projections, you know, that you have from the past that you're projecting onto the future and just understand that everything is actually okay. That if you stop and have a look, things are actually okay. And I've just been, like I said, there's been times when I've been on beaches. There's been times when I've been in the snow. There's been times when I've been on mountains. There's been times when I've been on my bike. And I've looked around and I've thought, oh, fuck. I'm so grateful to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very blessed to be here. And I really am proud of the fact that I put so much into life and enjoying life and doing things. And no matter what is going on in those moments, you know, even with my kids, I have to say to them, none of this is permanent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
everything you're feeling right now, none of it is permanent. Yeah. And you're going to feel good things and you're going to feel bad things.
And both of them are temporary.
And they're very temporary.
And I think I heard someone say it on a podcast once, and that really resonated with me as well, because I was like, you know, when we're in a space where we're in a bit of a funk, you feel like it's going to last forever, but it doesn't. Everything is temporary. Every feeling is temporary. The feeling of elation, the feeling of depression, the feeling of happiness, sadness, right, wrong, good, bad, whatever it is. And if you know that, you don't get so attached to the thing. You know what I mean? You understand that it passes. Both sides pass. And so, yeah, it helps you to handle those scenarios.
It's kind of like, you know, you've got your past and your future, right? Past is guilt. Future is fear.
Mm-hmm.
And both things lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your fears lie to you. Fear is just a lie.
Tell me sweet little lies.
Fear lies to you, and it makes you feel things that are not justified or realistic.
Yeah.
And guilt does the same thing. It makes you feel things that are not correct, that are not justified, and they are not realistic.
Yeah.
And that has always drove me to go, okay, let's get some proper perspective on what is going on here. And having perspective on things is a very wise thing, right? But it's also one of the most powerful tools you can have when you're dealing with other people.
Mm.
Is have perspective, see it from their position. Mm-hmm. Allow yourself, when you understand it from their position and you understand what's going on from their position, you'll always hold the power in things. Because it always leaves you in a state of question. So you want to hold the parent situations. You've got to be the person who has perspective and the person asking the question. And you've got to get that fear. Whenever you're afraid of something, that is just fear is just lying to you. It's not telling you the truth about what is actually going on.
Yeah.
What is actually happening. And the bigger, it's always wiser to push and find out, okay, what is actually going on? What is actually happening here? What is this showing me, teaching me, giving me, holding me accountable to?
Yeah. I think there were some moments in my life that were big kind of moments, aha moments, realization moments that I use to this day. So I think for my lessons and stuff, one of them, I tell this story often, it's just funny, but my grandfather and I used to watch the A-Team. Did you remember that? And I loved the A-Team and MacGyver. I loved them.
I can't remember the music from MacGyver.
I don't remember that either, but I loved Richard T. Nance as well. I thought he was so cute. And I wasn't allowed to watch a lot of TV other than the news and stuff like that. I watched the A-Team with my grandfather, the MacGyver as well with my grandfather and stuff like that. And then when I was at school, I remember the girls one day, I can't remember how old I was, but the girls one day were all in a circle and they were talking about their favourite TV shows, right? And I just was I just didn't know what I thought that they were going to like or whatever. So I was very invested in them liking me.
Oh, right.
Yeah, or not liking me, but me not making a fool of myself. And so unfortunately I went first. And so because I was going first, I didn't want to say MacGyver or the A-Team because I thought maybe that's just corny or whatever. So I said, oh, I'm not actually allowed to watch TV other than, you know, the news and stuff like that. And then every other girl ended up saying either, you know, MacGyver or the A-Team or something similar to that. And I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, it came back around to me, and by that time I was like, well, I can't say actually I like them too. And it made me realise right early on that my – I was like – it. Whatever I think they're thinking about me really doesn't matter. Like, it's okay for me to have my own opinion and my own voice and my own ideas about things. And I wasn't sure about that, and then I learnt that through that. Now, it still was a process. There were still times where I was like managing and trying to fit in or whatever. But I remember that stands out for me, thinking, mate, I'm trying to fit in. And I've just made myself stand out, like, yeah, literally be separate because I was trying too hard not to be myself. Do you know what I mean?
So the thing you were trying to avoid feeling is the thing you ended up feeling because you were you cared more about what they were thinking. About you. Yeah,
yeah.
And it's funny how that is the default.
Oh, you know.
When you care about what other people think about you and you stop being yourself, the thing that you're afraid of is the thing that happens.
And I was quite young. It wasn't like, you know, and I was like, and it was a lesson that really stuck with me. Another one was years later. I think I was teaching by this point, and I had these friends, and in hindsight, friends are, you know, people come into your life for a reason, a season, a lifetime, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was exactly what I needed at the time. But this one particular girl, I just struggled with so much, and I just was like, she's so dishonest. Like, my biggest feeling with her is that she couldn't be trusted. And I remember saying it to her one time, and I said it to her, and she said, no one has ever said that to me before. And I went, well, I'm not trying to be critical. It's just the way I'm feeling and just what it is. So I just, you know. And then I don't know how long into this relationship.
She had an affair.
Well, that happened too, but that wasn't exactly what I was thinking about. But what I realised was that I wasn't trusting myself. Like, I was blaming it on her. Mm. But I knew what she was like. I knew that there were certain things that she couldn't keep to herself. I knew that there were certain things that she wasn't – it just wasn't in her nature to be able to do. And I kept putting that in – like, it's like putting something in somebody else's hands and they don't know how to look after it, and then you're blaming them for the fact that they don't know how to look after it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so I realized it wasn't her I wasn't trusting. It was my own knowledge and my own awareness of what she was like. And then that moment on, it was like I just had a different relationship with her. Like, I was like, it's not about you.
Was she a bit like, oh, you got me? Or were you a bit like, gotcha?
No, what do you mean?
Was her behavior like, oh my God, you got me, so I need to get you out of my sphere of influence?
Not necessarily, I don't think. I think that ended up happening because it was not, it wasn't true.
School teacher?
Yeah.
Fucking school teacher.
I know.
What is it with you guys?
I know. But I really remember that standing out and really having that realization that it was a me thing. Mm. And that as much as I was putting projecting that outside.
Not a lot of people fucking ever get that.
Yeah. And I was projecting it outside, blaming it on her, called her on it. But in the end, I was like, it's actually me. I'm not trusting myself. And this is one of the common things I share with people now, even in my coaching. And I don't just share it with them and saying it. I mean, I share it with them in, if someone's got an issue with their kid who's not listening, I 100% know it's actually not the kid not listening. You're projecting your own not listening onto the kid. What are you not listening to? The kid's not understanding. My husband's not understanding. Well, you're not understanding about something about the hubby. And so you're projecting that on him, but you haven't stepped into the place and the person that you need to be understanding first. So the thing that I realised even through that, and once I processed that even further, is that you've got to kind of go first. If you want somebody to be something for you, you've got to be something first. Do you know what I mean? You've got to step into that trait or characteristic that you're looking for from them. It has to come from you first. I can't. There was no way I could ever trust her because I wasn't trusting myself.
Yeah.
There was no possible way that I could, that she could be someone trustworthy to me because I wasn't being that person to her. So I couldn't, there was no way that that was ever going to happen. Does that make sense? Mm. Yeah, so that was a big lesson for me because I realised that it all came back down to me, which is so cool, and it's also so shitty sometimes because you're like, fuck it, couldn't it just been that?
Yeah, 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 yeah. No, and never that. But it's something else that, you know, I've watched over time with people is that, you know, we... it'll take me a minute to just map this out. So if we look at what's happening in the world at the moment, right? And we go, okay, so Trump is in power. There's a big change in what's happening in the world. Like, you can feel the world is changing, right? Europe is just in fucking turmoil. Trump is in power. There, you know, DOJ is getting torn to shreds. Elon is in. And, you know, so you, I find myself being very pro Trump, right? And but none of it really matters. None of it really matters. Yeah. And it like when you get sucked or drawn into that, you're really, really you have to understand that what you're here to do has to matter way more than that sort of nonsense. And it doesn't mean that it's good or bad or right or wrong. I mean, there's always going to be transformation. There's always going to be change. And definitely I feel as if this is a move in the right direction for the world, which is great. But you can't immerse yourself in that and that become your identity and how you position yourself towards other people, mm-hmm. situations, because anybody who's doing that is lost. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it's and so how easy it is to get lost, how easy it is to get trapped, how easy it is to lose your consciousness and be sucked into that, and all your creative capacity and all your energy that could be going into building the world and the life that, and the reality that you want. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, you know, it's just that future stuff dragging you in there, mm-hmm. you know, rather than use your future imagination to create the world that you want for you. Mm-hmm. Don't fucking worry about their world. What's your world? Yeah. How does it look for you? Where are you going? Who are you hanging out with? Where are you who are you spending time with? You know, that whole thing of, drama quenches your addiction.
News
quenches your addiction to drama. And it allows us to connect with people. It gives us a short circuit to connect with.
Hot wire to connect to drama.
Because I find myself, even with my wife, you know, when I see myself doing that, I have to stop. And I actually stop and say nothing. And something magical always happens, mm-hmm. because we always end up talking about the kids or connecting or laughing with each other, and something more
different happens.
Well, it's just something beautiful happens, yeah. between us, as opposed to, okay, I want something beautiful to happen. So in order for something beautiful to happen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about drama, mm-hmm. because drama hotwires connection. Mm-hmm. And so what I've started to notice over time, when you don't do that and you don't roll into that rhetoric or that story, something beautiful and something magic actually, mm-hmm. happens. So that is a build on for the magic that I think is actually happening in the world, mm-hmm. at the moment. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. it seems that people are really getting that. This is just a play. It's just a drama. It doesn't matter. Mm. What really matters is who you are, why you're here, what, mm-hmm. it is you're here to do, the people that are around you, why they're in your sphere of influence, loving your family, being loved.
So when do you really see that coming out? When do you notice that the most, like for yourself, like that stepping back? And not playing into the drama.
When I have to deliberately do it. When I realise what I'm doing.
When you're conscious of it. When you can catch it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Look at what I'm doing. It's morning time. I'm standing in the kitchen. I'm making coffee. You know, I'll joke around.
You've noticed about something and then you...
Yeah, and Ange has just come in and she's talking about her workout. Ange always measures her workout by the sweat up the back of her head. It's fucking hilarious. She comes and she goes, look, the fucking sweat up the back of my head. I'm like... Dude,
mate,
what's cute? Fuck? It is very cute, but then I realize that's all that happens. When I start talking about that stuff, I miss the magic of what's happening with little Ollie eating his cornflakes and slurping the milk, or
yeah.
you know, our Lexi Lola coming out and fucking one half of her side of her hair is done, the other side isn't.
It's not.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I get that.
It robs you of all of that.
Yeah.
When you do that, but if you just let go and just step back and look at what's happening, it's much more magical.
Yeah, yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, and I've got one more that I share as well sometimes, but and these, I've got many of them, so we can probably do a whole other podcast, but
okay.
There's when I was told, I don't know how old, what year it was, 2016, 17, 18, I don't know when it was, when I was told that I couldn't have kids that time, and that because I've had the fibroids on the uterus.
Yeah.
And I remember somebody said to me, like I was saying to somebody that, like, at the end of the day, if somebody said to me right now, I could give you a kid, would you want it? I'd say, yeah. Well, probably not. Like, that's not the point. The point is that I didn't feel like it was almost like this thing happened. I didn't have a choice. In the long run, obviously, it was choices that led up to that, but that's a whole other different conversation. But the way I handled that was I just, for the first time in my life, I allowed myself to feel all the things, and instead of just being like, it's okay, or just brushing it away, I just allowed myself to feel all the things. And the way that materialized is that when I thought I was perfectly okay, I'd burst into tears. And then another time I was emotional or crying, and then I was like making really inappropriate jokes and just all sorts of stuff. I was just behaving in a particular way. And I think that lasted for about 5 days max, right? It was in the January period. And I remember that after that point, I never had that same emotional. It was the first time I'd ever allowed myself to feel all of the things at whenever it came up. Because, you know, as adults, we push all those feelings down, and you see kids and you let them have their feelings and they're totally okay, and then they don't wallow in the feelings.
No, right? Totally.
It doesn't happen. But as adults, we never allow ourselves to feel the feelings because we think, you know. And from that point, I realized I hadn't allowed myself to feel any of the things. I let myself feel it, and I've never had the same – doesn't mean I don't have my moments still, but I've never had that same emotional reaction about that. And that emotional reaction was years and years and years and years of build-up around that. Do you know what I mean? And so I really learned then that it's okay just to actually feel what you need to feel.
Yeah.
And – as much as I knew all this work, as much as I knew all the stuff, and eventually I went to do all my work around it, cleared whatever I needed to clear up, and if there's ever anything else I need to clear up and I feel like I need to do it, I go and do it. Mm. But the feeling of the feelings and allowing myself to have that and just be real about it for the first time ever, because other times I would have protected my mum around it, I would have protected these kids around it, I would have protected or even made light of it or just avoided it, just didn't do any of it. And it was just really empowering to realise that then in allowing the feelings, I didn't need to wallow in it. Yeah. It didn't take as long as I thought it was going to take to actually deal. And it just didn't become a part of who I was because I let it be.
And another thing that you hadn't dealt with that was a part of who you were. It's like another dent in the car.
Yeah.
That you hadn't taken to
hadn't
the garage.
Just yet. Dealt with, yeah, just yeah. Deal with the fuck so again. That was a really big learning, and from that, it just has escalated over time to go, it's okay. I don't ever feel like I wallow in the same thing over and over again as I did that before or as I used to do since that time. Mm. And I think that for me is why it's important for me to have open conversations, because it's like the stuff gets out. Once it's out, it doesn't fester. Mm. I feel like I used to let things fester, and that was a defining moment, I suppose, because I just went, oh, okay, I let it happen, and then in allowing it to happen, it hasn't festered. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Very cool.
Any more? Anything else you can think of? I like that. I think like what you said though, about just seeing and experiencing the magic instead of getting hooked in. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it'll happen anyway.
All the time.
Just let it happen. Don't try to make it happen. You know, just let the moment come about. Don't try to fucking make the moment happen. Just don't force it. Just let the magic happen.
Yeah.
And it's really wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, it's wonderful being a dad at times. It's wonderful waking up in the morning, and it's wonderful coming out. And just, it's what, you know, I go into the girls every, I can't go into Lexi at the moment because she's a fucking teenager, so she's doing Lexi. But she does it at night. She doesn't do it during the day. She comes out at night. Like, you're just about to go to bed, and Lexi fucking, hello, jumps on the bed and fucking wants to talk for it. Yeah. It's like, dude. But in the morning, I can run into Ollie, and, you know, he wants me to run in and jump on the bed and just cuddle him and sniff in his ear and wake him up and tickle him and pull his feet and pull him out of bed. And then Lola hears me, and she jumps out of the bed and jumps out of her seat and runs up and just gives me a big hug in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's magic, all about. It's just so good.
Do you know, I will say, I know that this podcast's gone for a while, but what I will say is that since you've had your thing with your arms, mm-hmm. like your wrists, I've noticed a big shift in you in terms of that as well, because I feel like you are appreciating the little things more.
Yeah.
I don't actually think that you weren't before. I think you were, but you never really expressed it the same way that you do now. So I think that there was a disconnect between what you were experiencing and what people thought you were experiencing, do you know, or understood, because you would, you may not have said it in that way. Do you know what I mean? I've had this conversation with you a couple of times where even in some of our little disagreements, in you expressing a couple of little things, it literally made me see another side that I hadn't seen before. So I think what that has done is made you more expressive of those little moments, and then people understand that you are actually appreciative of them, because I think in the past, you before this, you were so busy or you were so occupied with things that potentially, even though you were experiencing the magic and you would still get snippets of it occasionally, you didn't really express it, and so it didn't seem like maybe you were taking those moments in.
Yeah.
And now I really feel like you do.
Yeah.
Well, because I hear it as well, not just, and you see it and you can feel it from you rather than just having to guess that you love that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that sense of, it's weird because it's cut around that sense of helplessness, right? Because when it happened, right, it's like the second operation that I had, they were like, oh, you're going to fucking need all these drugs. And they gave me all these drugs, all these painkillers, like full on painkillers. And I didn't need them. Like, I fucking didn't need them. They're like, how's your pain levels? I'm like, fine. I'm fucking. And I go, oh, that's because the trauma of the first one was so intense that this is nothing. And I'm like, absolutely. And so that sense of helplessness where I couldn't fucking do anything. Like, you are experiencing this pain and you're going to experience it 24/7 unless you're asleep, and it's not going to go away. And you can do nothing about it. And you're going to just have to lean in to the pain and manage who you are and
live with this
and let everybody come in and help you and everybody be there. And I think that was so stored up, you know, it was so stored up in me, you know, that being, you know, and what was stored up in me was actually letting people do that, you know, actually letting me have people care about me and let people feel that I was all right and let people come in and love me and watch over me and take care of me. But also the pain of letting go and letting people do that was in my hands. It's fucking bonkers. Was in my hands. And then the second time round, it's funny because now I can move my hand better, so I can move more. So I'm going to give you more movement, and I'm going to show you that pain is important, and I'm going to show you that the pain is actually not that bad. You know, you're actually able to manage things, and you're able to manage the intensity of things much better than you have been able to do before. It's fucking crazy.
It is. Would you call it trauma now? Do you feel fully clear with it that it's no longer trauma, or do we need to tidy some more?
Well, the perception of trauma is that there's more plus than minus. Well, I think I'm just talking about it in terms of medical.
Yeah, no, I understand.
So how
that.
Speak about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll never stop learning from this.
No, of course.
You know, this is always going to be teaching me and showing me things. It's, you know, all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And it still hasn't got away. You see me.
I never
stop. Like, I'm always moving and stretching. I'm always moving and stretching my hand. And I think that's what it is. It says you've always got to be working towards letting go and letting God, you know, let life do what it needs to do.
But I love that.
It's very cool.
I love that.
GTFN.